This year brings the 100th anniversary of Planned Parenthood. Here in Michigan, that anniversary brings a major restructuring of the organization. Here with us now is Lori Carpentier, who's president of the newly organized Planned Parenthood of Michigan. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us more. What's happening in terms of restructuring Planned Parenthood in Michigan?
Well, you know, as you may know, Planned Parenthood is part of a national organization, and we are a network of 58 separate organizations across the country. We cover all of the United States with at least one affiliate. In some places, we have a couple of states that are covered by an affiliate. And at one point in our history in Michigan, we had up to 12 affiliates, but through a series of mergers, which are really intended to increase our efficiency, et cetera, we have come together to form larger organizations. And so most recently, we were down to 2 affiliates in Michigan. And as of May 1st, we've put them together and created Planned Parenthood of Michigan.
Strength in numbers. Unite.
Exactly. It's our motto is stronger together.
Now, what does it mean for your clients and also in terms of how many health centers there will be?
There will continue to be 20 health centers. That's what we run today. And that will continue. You know, our goal is that it's quite seamless for our patients, because what we're hoping for is that the high quality experience they've come to expect from our health centers will continue uninterrupted. And really, it's about back office efficiencies and making sure that we're utilizing more resources that get actually to patients.
Lori, as president and CEO, so now it's Planned Parenthood of Michigan, what is your personal mission statement for the organization?
My mission statement is really about doing everything we can to ensure that women and girls in particular can fully participate in our society, make sure that they have control of their own fertility.
How do you think this merger will help fit that?
I think mostly what we're hoping for is that we can ensure that, you know, our resources are dwindling and scarce. So the goal is to make sure that we are being as efficient as we can, cutting out the competition that we presently had or that we did have between the two affiliates for state-held federal dollars, those kinds of things, so that kind of rising tides raise the whole boat. And that's really our goal. And of course, the seamless nature of our health services now will be solidified. So if a patient is a student, let's say, at the Northern Michigan University and is home for the summer in, say, Detroit, care will be completely seamless within the network. And prior to that, we were bifurcated.
Now, you mentioned the funding and the dwindling dollars, which leads us to talk about the fact really Planned Parenthood has been getting some very, very strong pressure from pro-life supporters, including members of the state legislature who want to shut you down over providing abortions or at least greatly restrict your funding and your operations. And with that in mind, how much of your services pertain to abortion?
It's less than 5% of the number of visits that we have in an annual basis. And, you know, I don't want to minimize that, because I think that's what sets us apart as a provider of comprehensive women's health care. And there are far too few people who actually offer that service in the way that we do, in an empowering and very accepting sort of manner. So I'm proud that we do that, and I don't want to back away from that. But it is, in fact, a small part of what we do. And the vast majority of the work that we do is intended to reduce the need for abortion by making sure that people have the resources and information they need to manage their fertility so they avoid unintended pregnancy.
And give us a sense of what that the rest of that work, that vast majority, looks like. Specifically, what kinds of other services?
Sure. So mostly it's what all of your female listeners will know very intimately. It's the well women gynecological, you know, care that we get on an annual basis, pap smears and breast exams and other kinds of cancer screenings. We certainly do our fair share of sexually transmitted disease and infection testing and treatment. We, a little known fact that people don't understand, is we offer prenatal care and do that here in Ann Arbor and in the city of Detroit, and really are the safety net under the cracks through which people fall for that service, because it is not very attractive to offer prenatal care and delivery under the Medicaid program. So the vast majority of our patients, that's because the reimbursement's not very good. So our patients in our prenatal program are almost exclusively recipients of Medicaid. And so we offer that care in cooperation with either University of Michigan nurse midwives or the nurse midwives from Wayne State, and are very proud of that service. We do permanent birth control for men and women, so sterilization procedures, vasectomy, and surgical and non-surgical sterilization procedures for women. And then we see another host of people for educational services in school settings, families, parents, peer-to-peer kind of interactions, those sorts of things.
Clearly, you serve low-income women to a great degree. Who else? Who are some of your other clients?
Well, it's certainly not exclusively low-income women. No. That's another one of the myths that people labor under, is that we only serve low-income people, and that's not accurate. There are lots and lots of our nearly 73,000 patients who choose us because of the kind of care that we give. And it really isn't about we're the only choice that they have based on their insurance. So we see people with insurance, without insurance, and our federal dollars that come through the state enable us to offer services on a sliding fee scale so that people who don't have insurances can pay what they can afford, basically depending on their income.
I'm speaking with Lori Carpentier, who is the president and the CEO of Planned Parenthood of Michigan. And I'm sure this is a question that you have gotten a lot, and particularly as we've noted, as the heat has been turned up across the nation on Planned Parenthood. Why should taxpayers, especially people who are deeply, deeply opposed to abortion, fund Planned Parenthood?
You know, I'm really glad that you asked that question. And this is another one of the series of misunderstandings that people have about our world and our services, and specifically our funding. You know, there have been sound bites over the last year or so about the amount of federal funding that Planned Parenthood gets. And that number sounds astronomical. It's $500 million, and that sounds startlingly ridiculous. What people fail to understand is the vast majority of that is the reimbursement that our over 800 health centers across the country get because we have offered reproductive health services to Medicaid recipients. So just like any other provider, if we said, you know, we've done a pap smear and an annual exam for a patient, and we get reimbursed like any other provider. That's the vast majority of what those quote-unquote federal dollars are. And none of those dollars can go to have any impact on abortion care or services. And we are subject to extensive audits, not just routine financial audits, but audits with the Medicaid program, audits with Title X, which is the federal family planning grant. We have to go through those audits to make sure that none of those dollars are inappropriately used for anything except preventative health care.
How much do you get from the state? What kind of funding do you have from the state?
We get nothing from the state of Michigan. There's federal dollars that come, and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is the recipient of that, the holder of that, if you will, and then they redistribute it based on the federal program guidelines. And we are one of 29 recipients of that money in the state of Michigan. But we offer 70% of the services. So we're one of 29 programs, and we do 70% of the services. So basically, without Planned Parenthood, Title X does not exist in the state of Michigan. And none of those dollars are state originated.
Where else does funding come from then?
The funding comes primarily from patients. So we get Medicaid reimbursement. People who use their Blue Cross or their HAP or whatever and choose to use Planned Parenthood, we bill those services just like any other medical provider. And then, of course, the last leg of our stool is the good folks that trust us with their hard-earned dollars and put $50 or $100 in an envelope in the form of a donation. I always like to say that Planned Parenthood may be the best example of a public-private partnership, where the only way we can actually offer these services and make it work financially is because we augment them by good philanthropy, by people who have experienced the need for our services in the past or have found a loved one that needed our services in some way. Nearly one in five American women will have used a Planned Parenthood service before her reproductive life is over. And so there's a lot of alumni out there, if you will, that honor us with donations, and we are grateful for that.
If Planned Parenthood was to be shut down, what alternatives would be available to the people who come to you?
This is one of those laughable moments because, in fact, in other states, they've been pretty successful in trying to remove funding, et cetera. And they have distributed lists of supposed providers that could take the place of Planned Parenthood. In some states, those lists have included orthodontists, podiatrists, etc. I think it's notable that in the state of Michigan, all of our counties have at least one veterinarian. 23 of our counties have no OBGYN provider, no primary women's health provider. So this notion that there are folks waiting in the wings to take on our patient load is a myth. And the federally qualified health centers, which is the other network of safety net health providers across the state of Michigan that do great work, would sit in this chair and tell you they could not absorb our patient load nor offer the sorts of services that we do in the volume that we do. So we know that what would happen, we don't have to wonder. We can just look at Texas. Texas removed their funding, closed hundreds of centers across the state of Texas. Their STI rates have increased significantly. Their unintended pregnancy rates have increased significantly. Their teen pregnancy rates have increased significantly. So we don't have to wonder what would happen. And if we're not careful, it will come to a state near us.
What's the most personally rewarding part of the work that you do with Planned Parenthood?
That's a really good question. I think the most personally rewarding thing we do is that
for you,
for me, every single day, in spite of the fact that I once was on the front lines. I started as a frontline staff person 31 years ago, so I remember those days. But even now, being a little bit away from patients, I get around to health centers, and I hear people at our front desk or with our clinicians saying, "I don't know where I would have turned." And I have a letter in my drawer that I will cherish always from a woman that said, "I came to you when I was in a desperate situation and I've gone on to law school, et cetera. And I was ready to commit suicide and you folks were there." So we had a teen summit last week where young people said, "You know, I'm from the LGBT community and live in a tiny town and was always taught that I was an abomination and would go to hell. And you gave me a place to be." We shine the light. And we let people be who they are and honor that fully and embrace it. And I think there's certainly not enough of that in this world.
Marking the 100th anniversary of Planned Parenthood, as we talk with Lori Carpentier, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Michigan. It was great talking with you, Lori. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciated the opportunity.